Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Well, if you can go through that video without a tear in your eye, oh my Lord. Now everybody, he just told you to sit back down, so I'm going to ask you to stand back up.
Sorry about that.
That's all right, no. I like for those who need to sit to go ahead and sit. This is a very special day. I stand, this is an old song, it just simply says, I stand amazed. In his presence, Jesus the Nazarene. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. This is the Advent season, and we're going to light today the first candle of Advent. And I just want to read this to you today. Randy's going to come. And he is going to light this rear purple candle today. This is the first Sunday of Advent today, and we light one purple candle. By the way, Advent started in many churches last week. I chose not to start it last week because I didn't want to start it on the first Sunday back. This is the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus Christ. We hope that everyone will come to know God and to know God and to make him known to others. When we read at the first candle, when we light the first candle, we remember God's promise to send the Savior, a Savior to the people. When we first read the book of Isaiah and we continue to read it, we hear what the prophet Isaiah wrote about God. God fulfills the promises made to care for his people. God is loving and he is just. God brings peace. This gives us hope, and we look forward to the time when everything is fair, when the world is at peace again, and all people will be treated justly. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Randy, as you light the rear left purple candle. The mountain of the Lord, this is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days in the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. There's a reason for that. It will be exalted above the hills and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion. Who will be there? Jesus. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Who will the word be? Jesus. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob. That is you and me. You see, we've been adopted into this bloodline. The only one that I know of in this room, only two that I know of in this room, are standing to my right. Pastor Harvey and Melissa. The only two that came honestly by the bloodline. The only two. But I'll tell you what, I'm adopted. How about you? He says, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. You may be seated just for a few moments. I don't know which way this direction of this service is going to go today. I just have to share with you. This is the candle of hope. It's the Sunday that we want to emphasize hope. And I'm just going to be really upfront with you and tell you when the story of Nate came to my left ear this morning, hope just rose up in my spirit. Nate, if you can do this, we can do it with you. Nate and Melissa, if you can walk the journey, we have hope to walk the journey with you. Brenda, awesome to see you today. It just delights me to see you today. The red shines, even though I can't see anything but red back there. Nate and Melissa, if you can do this. Pastor Harvey, if you can let go of Gene and trust Gene in the Lord's hands, we can do it with you. You see, each of us in this room have endured something, and yet I honestly can tell you, I know what it is to lose a brother through a tragedy. I know what it is to lose my mom, but I have never lost my ability to walk. I've never lost something. I've never had the threats that Rick and Pam had early in their marriage when illnesses or blindness strikes a child. I never had that. And I didn't have the wonderment that you guys did through the journey of watching God use Steve. And now we all watch God use Steve. We get the best end of the journey. You guys paid the price of God. We have to trust you every day. Somebody sowed hope into you along the way. And that is our role as believers. And that's what the hope of glory. I just want to read this to you from, I'm going to have you turn quickly to the book of Colossians. And Paul is writing to the church in Colossians, and he is saying, and I just want you to turn, it's Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 24, and Paul is writing about the supremacy of Christ. In fact, let me read it before you get there. I'm going to read a little bit before that, so just, I'm going to start with 24 with you, but listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God. That's who we're talking about. Now, I know most of us have settled that in our minds. Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is. And there are times where, and I thank God when Pastor Mike runs those videos, how great is our God, because I sit there and every time I watch those things, I'm embarrassed before God at how I take the God of creation so in vain. Like, oh yeah, I got that down. When people say to me, oh, I understand the Trinity, you know, the Father is kind of like our, you know, it's the soul, the spirit and the body, and this is what, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't comprehend. Help me remember the offering today, will you? Almost forgot it last week. I don't comprehend that whole thing, but this is what Paul says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Not just by him, but for him. We forget that. I was created for God's glory. And Paul caught that as he was teaching this, as he was writing this. He said, I was created for him, for him. He is before all things, and in all things, listen, in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, that's you and me. Wait a minute, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh yes, he will. Oh yes, he will. Tell you and me what to do. Youth, if you think it's tough being a kid, we've been there. We know what it is to have parents. It's time for school. Get up. How many love that call? I used to pray for 12 inches of snow. And it was May. I'd pray for 12 inches of snow. Don't worry. I prayed for 12 inches of snow on Sunday morning. And don't any of you pray that this winter. I'm coming after you. If anyone prays, I used to pray that prayer. Lord, let there be 12 inches and Pastor Shockley will cancel church. Now I'm reaping that. So you better not pray for snow on Sunday morning or Saturday night. He is before all things and in him all things. This is the God of creation. This is the God that walked Nate in this room today. By the way. He was escorted by the Holy Spirit and by an amazing bride that walks next to him every Sunday. Wherever this young man goes, this amazing bride is on one side and the Spirit, how do I know that? Because his word says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We have great news to give to the world. We have great news. He came 2,000 years ago. And we have great news. Listen to this. I'm going to jump down to 24 where I want you. If you're a writer in your Bible, write just above this caption, hope, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Now I rejoice in what sufferings for you, and I filled in my flesh, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of the body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave to me, present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. Listen to this. He's speaking of the mystery. But this is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known. In other words, through you and through me. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, well, he was talking to the Jews at the time, but listen, he's including us now, the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is speaking to God's people at the time that he has chosen to make, bottom line, the church is the hope of the world. If the church has the good news and the church has the hope, and we bottle it and we simply at a convenient time when no one's looking are willing to just bow our heads in a restaurant and pray. And that's the glory of our testimony. We are exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Because somehow God has chosen, and for some reason God chose you and me to be the vessel of hope. That candle represents the hope of glory, which, by the way, Paul just said is in you. He goes on to say, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy. Say his energy. Not my, say his energy. Because it sounded like you said it with your energy. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you say his energy, that sounds like we're saying it with our energy. No. This is good news. Okay, I'll come over here. I said, this is good news. He is the hope of glory. He lives in you. He chose you and me. He said it in his word. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You think he didn't know what Nate's accident was going to be? I've got news. But the glory of God will shine through Nate and Melissa. The glory of God will shine. Why? Because he was not only created by him, Nate and Melissa were created for him. To shine a beacon of hope. When Nate's story came to me in my ear this morning, my spirit exploded with hope. What are the possibilities? Tom, the hope of glory. You know my story of Tom, the hope of glory. This is him playing with his little guy down. What's his name? Jose, right? Jose in Panama. Tom met the hope of glory because of people like you who went on a missions trip with Tom and let him, this Catholic brother, a Catholic all of his life, you let him stay Catholic because you didn't judge him. You said, no, be a great Catholic. That's good. Love God, love people, serve God well. What did Paul just say here? We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone. Everybody say everyone. With all wisdom, so that we may be present everyone perfect in Christ. Here is why we exist. Here is why we exist. Nate and Melissa are why we exist. Because we need each other and we carry this light. And it wasn't until probably 2 years after his second missions trip, Tom walks down the aisle and he says, okay, I'm all in. I said, what's that mean? You know Tom. If you know Tom, anybody here know Tom? Remember Tom? He was a tough old cuss. He was great Catholic, tough old cuss, you know. He loved his verbiage. It was creative most of the time. And he'd walk, all right, I'm in. I said, what's that mean, man? I was standing right about down there. I said, dude, what does that mean? He said, this Christ thing. I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm all in. The hope of glory. And do you know, to the moment that the man died and he suffered as he died, he never lost hope. He never lost the hope of glory because he was about to see him face to face. Because he was alive in Tom to the day that Tom saw him and took his hand. We are the hope of glory. The church is the hope of the world. And you say, well, no, wait a minute now, Barry. Doctrinally, Jesus is the hope of the world. Yes, but he commissioned it through the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. He commissions it through the church to be lived out on a daily basis and to actually go into people's lives. One of the great privileges I have and great honors that I have is to go to funeral homes. And not long ago, in fact, it was just this week, I got a phone call from Hutchins Steiger. You know where it's the Steiger funeral home that is down here on Mid Rivers. And so I got a phone call, and it was a family that had no pastor, had no connection to a pastor. Linda here by any chance? Anybody? Is Linda's family here? Okay. I'd met Linda through the years at Cracker Barrel. She was one of the servers. She loves Dad, by the way. Who doesn't love Dad, you know? Who doesn't love Dad? But she always calls him by name. And she always, you know, she talks to him. She loves on my dad. She gives value to my dad. She's got she's had some level of a hard life through the years. But this is just an amazing story. So through the years, there's no pastor. There's no connection. So I get a phone call, and you know, in fact, Pam told me that she had called. So I called her and I connected with her, and she told me they have nobody to do her father's funeral. And so that is one of those moments where you go into the funeral home, just God, I'm going to be open to whatever you show me. This has got to be a God thing here, because I'm not that good. I'm not that good, but God is honestly that good. He is that good. And so I walk in and I greet Linda, and she grabs me. She gives me a hug. She said, Barry, I know you don't know any of my family. And she said, let me walk you up. And I walked up to the casket, and there's her father there. And I stopped and I said, I know him. I know Bob. I've known Bob for 35 years. How? I said, I cut his hair. We cut his hair for years at House of Ivy. Yes! Oh, that's who you are? She said, I never put the last name together. I said, yeah, I knew Bob. I knew Bob was, you know, he went to Andy, and I named the different stylists. I said, Bob was a great guy. Bob was one of those guys when you walked into the room, everybody was glad Bob was there. He's a real tall, handsome guy, white hair, beautiful, had white hair since he was six. But he's just real tall, good looking. And it just lit my spirit that I actually knew him and had a history with him. I said, I know Bob. Bob Harling. I know Bob. Absolutely. And she said, let me get my brothers. We go get her brothers. Yeah, I remember House Ferry, House of Ivy, or the Lindbergh, Surrey Plaza 2 House of Ivy. Yeah, you guys were all in there. Absolutely. He said, yeah, we were all, you know, teenagers trying to go out on dates. And I said, I remember. No, I remember mostly your dad. And man, I began to realize, oh my Lord, I got an opportunity today. Do I ever have an opportunity today? So then a guy walks up to me. He says, Barry, I'm Jeff. I said, are you Jeff Steiger? He said, yeah. I said, Barry, Ivy, House of Ivy, right across the street from you guys on Halls Ferry. Oh, my God. I haven't seen you for years. And so we reconnected. And so long story short, as I connected with different people through the room, I stepped away from the podium. And I just began to talk. when the memorial service began. And God opened up this venue of conversation about what it is. I knew Bob was an old Baptist boy. Bob was an old Baptist boy, born and raised Baptist, loved God, there's no doubt about it. Bob had met this beautiful young lady when he was a young man that had five children, single mom, struggling in life. And Bob was a gracious, soft-hearted sweetheart that chose them. And that's actually the word Linda said to me. He chose us to be his family. They wept as though he was their biological. Didn't matter. He was their dad. See, there's a lot of biologicals that aren't your dad or your mom. But I want to tell you something. When your mom is your mom, now that's mom. When your dad is your dad, that's dad. Everybody knows. That's my dad. Well, they all knew that was their dad. And I began to talk with them about the principles that drove Bob's life. Because I remember Bob. And I'm so tempted to throw in the phrase, what about Bob? But anyway, I won't do it. I'll resist. But I could tell you all about Bob. And they were taken back by the fact, you think this isn't a God moment? When the Spirit of God has somebody call me that I hadn't seen. She hadn't worked there in a couple of years at Cracker Barrel. And I hadn't seen her. And somehow she gets a hold of us. She remembers us. See, here's the thing. I got to share the hope of glory in the room. I really did. I got to share the hope of glory. Because God pre-orchestrated this moment. You don't think Tom's life was pre-orchestrated? God refused to let that boy go to hell. God just absolutely, and at one point, I used Bill Heiple's great line to his friend. I said, Tom, I didn't tell him that I was stealing a quote. I said, Tom, I refuse to go to heaven without you. Now, I'm giving credit to Bill Heiple's, by the way. That's his statement. But it's a great truth. Who in your life could you honestly look right in the eyeballs and say, I refuse to go to heaven without you? I refuse to go to heaven without you. You see, because there is the hope of glory. His name is Jesus. And he lives in me. And he dwells in me. God, how can I use Christmas? This entire month is like a great big opportunity at a funeral home. I mean, maybe you don't get it. Do you know they're dying and being separated from God? The world is. How about preempting their funeral? And going, are you all with me? Are you getting my analogy here? Or am I just totally like too funeralish? Listen, we have great news. If I could have walked in there and said, Bob, get up, and felt it was the will of God, I could have, but I didn't feel it was the will of God at that point. God took Bob home. But if we could go before the death, before the separation and say, dude, in the name of Jesus, let me give you some hope. I refuse to go to heaven without you. And by the way, then you don't just walk away and pray and hope somebody invites him to church. Y'all getting the picture? It's called personal responsibility. Paul said, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching who? Everyone. With all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. How about this? How about this December, we refuse to go to heaven without somebody? How about we just absolutely, God, you show me who I am to target, who your bullseye is on. I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, I can't believe the opportunity. I have a captive audience at a funeral home. And as I began to share the gospel and I began to give the story of, you know, I told the story of this amazing man that chose to adopt children with a sad situation, desperate in life. And I just described Margaret and the children's situation before Bob came into their lives. And I said, and then this great father figure steps in and he just refuses to let them be this way anymore. Boy, it sounds like a great love story. It goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Wow, that's a great adoption story. Can I tell you, you and I have the hope of glory. And we have the ability to give it away. You and I have the ability to give it away. If you've not gotten any copies of the story that Mid Rivers Magazine ran on Nate and Melissa, it's a great thing to just keep copies in your car. Just read this story. Here, I want you to read this story. I know this story. I know this couple. I know this. By the way, when do you get your Habitat for Humanity home? February. Praise. Yeah. Well, let's. Yeah. Yeah. He is Jehovah Rapha, our great provider. Our great provider. I want you to stand with me for just a second. If you, as the board plays some music here, I just want to ask you something. Pam's going to come up here in just a few minutes, and she's going to make some announcements. But I want to ask you first. Everybody bow your heads for just a moment. I just want to ask you first. Man, you've been struggling. You've been maybe discouraged. You just feel like there's no hope. This is the time for you to get it settled with God that He is the hope of glory for you. He is the hope of glory for you. If you've struggled with just discouragement and you just need this kind of a B12 kind of an injection of into your spirit, God can do this great big B12 kind of a vitamin shot right into your spirit where God just lights you. I got my B12 when Nate and Melissa walked in the room. I'm just being real with you guys. God just injected me with this, hey Barry, I'm working here. Hey Barry, I'm working here. It was an amazing shot of B12 in my spirit. Oh, okay, God, I see you are the hope of glory. And maybe God has spoken that into you today. And the thing that you're wrestling with or the situation you're dealing with seems hopeless. But if that's you, I want you to step forward and walk up here. I'm going to pray for everybody that walks up here. We're just going to pray a group prayer. I'm not going to ask you what it is unless you want to tell me. I want you to step out right now. Come on, take 1 minute and step out right now. We're going to pray and we're going to give it to the hope of glory. We're going to meet hope again. We're going to find out what hope feels like. We're going to find out what hope looks like. We're going to find out who hope looks like. His name is Jesus, and He is Jehovah Rapha, and He is our healer. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who will meet every need. If you have sensed hopelessness in the last several weeks, days, or months, and it is time to turn over that hopeless feeling, those times of hopelessness, it's time to give them back to God. And we're going to meet the hope of glory. Come on. There's others I sense that need to be up here. Come on. Come on. You may be in the back row. You may be in the front row. Let me tell you something. I would have been up here right now. In fact, I'm already up here. I would have been up here because when I stepped into the room, I faced the need to walk forward. I'm just being real with you. I face that need. There are times I walk in here and I'll go, God, so light us today. And then all of a sudden, I didn't know God's voice sounded like Randy's. But I now know what God's voice sounds like. Anybody else, quickly? You just want to come up. I just want to say, Lord, I just need you to speak some hope into me. I need you to speak some encouragement into me. Come on. Come on. If that's you, come on up. Then I want every pastor in this church, I want every pastor and their spouse to get in front of these guys. I want every pastor in this room, Pastor Mike and the other Pastor Mike. I want Carmen to come on up if you would. Gina, if you would also, if you would come up. I want every pastor, Pastor Harvey, if you'll come up also, please. Carrie, if you'll come on up, an elder. I know I got to let you back there to do your job, but I just want you in front of all of these guys. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship. Carrie, can you come right here? That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Just go ahead and keep on playing the music, guys. Whatever you choose, just let the Spirit lead you. I want everybody to reach your hands towards those who have stepped forward. Just reach your hand out like this. Because that's just a sign of, you don't have to, but it's a sign of I'm in agreement in prayer with you right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those that have stepped forward, God, you know the conditions of their heart. You know that they're reaching out to you. And we know this, you have a history. When anyone ever cries out to you, the Father cannot reject the brokenhearted. The Father cannot reject. He cannot ignore the heart of the desperate cry. You just don't do it. You're a good, good father. You're too good a father to do that. So I'm asking you today, Father, that you will speak into each of these that stepped forward, and that you will so speak hope and encouragement into their spirit. I ask you, Father, that they will, as they stand there in faith, they didn't just walk up faithless, God, they walked up full of faith. They walked up believing that this could be a step of constructive faith that's being built in me. The word says, he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Christ. Everybody repeat that. He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. God, speak encouragement into them. Fill them with your spirit of encouragement today. And God, so overflowing that they go and give that away. Father, that they are not discouraged in whatever that issue is any longer, but that they see that in you all things are possible. All things are possible. Something good is about to happen to you. Something really good is about to happen to you. I said something really good. Dave, come up here. Dave and Vera, come up here. Something really good is about to happen to you. Get in this prayer line, guys. Get in this prayer line. Something good is about to happen to you. Get in there and start praying for somebody. Something good. Anna, Pastor Anna, come up here. God is doing something good in you. Sandy, come up here. Something good is going to flow through you. Just lay hands on people. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, something good is about to happen to you. Someone is about to lay a hand on you, and you're about to feel the Spirit of God so fill you, so fill you. I want a whole host of believers around Nate and Melissa. I want a whole host of Nate believers and supporters of Nate and Melissa. Just gather down around them and put your hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the hope of glory, he who began a work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not satisfied with Nate standing and just in worship. We'll be satisfied when Nate can walk across the platform and escort his bride across that platform. Because one day he's going to escort that bride into heaven and his family into heaven that God's going to give to them. One day the hope of glory will be alive in us again in this church. One day the hope of glory will flow through you into other people's, everyone, the Bible says, so that we can teach them and admonish them until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day of his appearing. One day the hope of glory will flow through us again as the people of God. His word says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their sin and their wicked ways, I will heal their land, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, as your people, we repent before you. We repent before you if we have taken for granted the hope of glory that is in us. The Spirit of the living God, if we have ever taken that for granted, God, we repent before you, and we ask you to forgive us and to flow through us again. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just let that song ring. Let that song ring. Let that song ring. Father, we worship you. 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 Give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a huge hand. Father, we worship you. For you are the hope of glory. You are the hope of glory. I have that news. I have that news. Everybody say, I have good news. And I'm going, I'm losing you, and I'm going to give it away. It's great news. Refuse to go to heaven without somebody. Refuse to go to heaven without somebody. Refuse to let the enemy destroy you or your family. Refuse. Stand up in Jesus' name and refuse to let the enemy destroy that which God created for him. Refuse. He created your family for him. He created you to honor him. I need to honor him. We need to honor him. Men, you are honoring him in this church in an incredible way under Pastor Mike's leadership and the men's council. Women, you gathered yesterday in the name of Jesus Christ. Over 40 women, wonderful, godly women gathered in this place. If you think it's not for young people, Karen was there yesterday. Had a great day because Karen was there yesterday. You think it doesn't matter? Karen was in the house. It matters. It actually matters because you were created by him for his glory. It's time we give it away. Let it ring. Let that song ring. He's a good, good father. Sing it. Come on. Let's hear that thing. Bring it to the rafters. Yes. Stand with me in worship. Stand with me in worship. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. Yes. Awesome. Yes. You're a good, good father. If it's too loud, sing louder. You're perfect in all your ways. Why don't you just make hell mad? Why don't you just make hell mad and refuse to let the will of the enemy prevail over your family? Because he's a great, great father. It's who you are. God, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. You're my daddy. Woo, you're my daddy. It's who I am. I am your adopted son. I'm your son.
Good father. It's who you are.
Yes.
It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love
my Oh, you sound great. It's who Come on, let me hear you.
It's who I am.
Yes.
It's who I am.
Yes.
You are perfect.
You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect.
You are
perfect in all your ways.
Perfect
in all your ways to us and through us. It is amazing.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Hallelujah.
It's who you are.
Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Woo, come on. Give him your best.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.